know, when we think about leadership, we think about some of the kind of characters that we've talked about so far today. You know, what would I do if I knew what I was doing? This really kind of slick kind of thing. Or if I want to be a leader, do I need to be Superman or Superwoman, some sort of larger than life person or some person with some official title who has no weaknesses at the top of some organizational pyramid? And the answer to that is no. No, what being a leader is really just saying, God, I am up for you using me to influence the world any way you choose. And I will thrust myself into what you're doing and allow all the things you're doing in my life to infiltrate and positively bless and impact other people. And that's how we're defining leadership at this critical understanding of what Moses has to deal with as we've been going through his life. So let's pray before we go any further. God, as I talk today and as we listen, I know there's a lot of conversations that we're going to be having inside of our own minds. What does this mean to me? What does this mean to the family I'm in, or the family I'd like to have, or the business I'm in, or the organization I'm a part of? And I just trust that what is said here today would be exactly what you want us to hear, and it's exactly what we need to have to apply to our life. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Not proud to say it, but last night or yesterday had the first fight in quite some time. My wife, one of those kind of more intense ones. You know, you always have disagreements. Every once in a while, you have a go. No, that was a fight right there. You know what I'm saying? And it was going really bad. I was kind of like, oh no, I'm hurting here. I'm busted. All that kind of stuff. And then Libby said something she shouldn't have said. And she said, "And you never." I said, "Aha! That is not true. Advantage Brian. I do too sometimes. Yes, I do. I do." That's always when we lose it, when we start to say something like, "Never, always." And so as a communicator, if you're in a spat with one of your friends, or if you're kind of giving a talk someplace, one of the first rules is never use the words "always" or "never." Okay. Now, having said that, let me tell you something about the way God always works. Whenever God wants to get something done in the world, he calls out a leader every time. Whenever God wants to get something done in the world, he calls out a leader every time. Why does God want our leadership? Why does God want our influence? Because when he gets our influence, when he gets our leadership, life, the universe, and everything becomes a better place. Life, the universe, and everything changes for the better. And you can just do your own little thought of this. You know, I take a look at everything in here, every movement, every major initiative I see within the scriptures here. It was a group of people. It's never just one person, but there was always a catalyst. There's always a lightning rod. There's always a voice for that. Look in world history. You'll find that there is always a major thing that happens, a leader that's called out and sometimes abuses his or her power. And Moses and the whole story of Israel is that kind of thing. Just a little brief rewind. We're talking about this whole thing representing that this is the life, the universe, and everything. And God is doing something. He invites us to be a part of what he's doing. But what we do instead is we draw our own little rings, our own little circles. And we say, "Here I am. I am Lord of the ring. I am Lord of my circle." And we need to go from our little rings that are in our homes and our businesses. And we need to migrate to be in the center of where God is. And Moses is doing that. He's doing his own little thing. And God comes and he calls him out and he says, "I want your leadership. I want your leadership because I want you to lead the nation of Israel out of bondage and into this thing called the Promised Land." And we've been taking a look at how Moses does that over and over again, how he does different things and how God is kind of using him to make that happen. Let's take a look at what happens next in his journey as a God follower, in his journey of how God is using him. And I must take a look at this from the book of Exodus. And actually, before a little rewind, last week we saw how Brian Wells talked about how God supernaturally provided manna, something for people to eat after kind of Charlton Heston, Moses had parted the Red Sea, and after they came through that and they're wandering around for many, many years trying to figure out how and when to get the Promised Land, and God supernaturally provides them with something to eat. And now it's only, you know, understandable that you'd also want something to drink too, right? And so that's where we pick this up. So they camp at Rephidim. I think that's how you say that. But there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" I love what Moses is going, "Hey, whoa, why are you upset at me? I don't want to do what I'm doing anyway. I don't like this leadership thing. I was content in my little ring. I'm so, why are you giving me crap? I don't want it. I don't want it. Moses did not want the position of leadership that he had. He didn't want it. And what he's saying is, you really don't have a problem with me. You really have a problem with God, because it was his idea all along. It was his idea to get you out of slavery. It's his idea to get you to the promised land. It's his idea to use me. I wish he wouldn't have actually. Your actual problem is with God. Oftentimes, you know, if you're in some organization, and organization, again, it could be your neighborhood, it could be your family, it could be your dating relationship. And when you speak or do something that you know is right, and you get people just come unglued, and they get completely bummed out. One of the ways you cope with it is you realize, man, this wasn't my idea. I mean, I guess I thought of it, but if it's ultimately right, all things that are right are from God. It's not really my idea. That you really have a problem with God. You're mad at God's truth, God's principles that might have been found in this book or somewhere else. And this is what's happened with Moses. He's realizing these people, you're really not mad. You think you're mad at me, but really your problem is with God, not with me. And so Moses goes to God and says, hey, I need your help. I got to figure out, you know, what's supposed to happen. So, but the people were thirsty and for water there, and they grumbled against Moses, and they said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt and make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Why? I love this word here, grumbled. Grumble. This is great. We're going to do a little exercise here. I want everybody, on the count of three, I want everyone to say grumble five times, okay? On the count of three, I want everyone to say grumble five times. One, two, three. Grumble, 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 grumble. You know that? It just sounds kind of, grumble. You know, grumble. It's, you can just imagine this whole nation, a million people grumbling like that. This murmuring, this cantankerousness that's happening. Moses is not happy about this at all. And so he's actually got to go to God to get some help. This is one of the things. What happens when you give God your leadership? What happens when you give God your influence? What happens when you say to God, God, I will jump into whatever you have for me. I will jump into it, and you can have who I am to positively influence the friends that I'm with, the business, the committee, the civic organization, the church, whatever. What happens? Well, two things happen. When you give God your leadership, you get grief and you get instructions from God. There's two things that happen. You get grief and you get instructions from God. Moses is getting constant and continual grief from all of these people, and now he's going to get instructions from God on what to do. So what happens is this. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what do I do with these nincompoops? They are almost ready to stone me. That's my translation there. The Lord answered Moses, well, walk on ahead of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. God gives Moses some instructions, and God will give us instructions when we need to make an influence. Sometimes those instructions come because our conscience functions properly, and we just go, oh, I think this is the right thing to do. Sometimes we'll get the right instructions because close advisors and confidants will give us insight. Sometimes we'll just happen to be reading this book. We'll say, oh, man, it says to do X, Y, Z. Sometimes that happens. But God gives him instructions, and he says, here's what you do. I want you to take that staff. That same staff that you threw down and would turn into a snake, miraculously, that same staff that you kind of waved over the Nile River and it turned to blood, I want you to take that same staff, and to help people quench their thirst, I want you to go up to a rock, and I want you to hit the rock. And that's what he does. He hits the rock. And water comes out. And that's what I'm talking about right there. Huh? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Huh? That is pretty sweet. So water comes out of the rock, and that is how people get fed. And this is the amazing thing. When God wants you to influence something, he normally doesn't leave you dry. He doesn't. There are dry times. There's dry seasons. And Moses had a dry season, you know, when he was in the desert for 40 years and trying to figure that out. When God wants you to do something, there will oftentimes be dry seasons. But he also shows up in the right time in the right place. And so the nation of Israel gets water through God's instructions. But whenever you give your leadership to what God wants to have happen inside of his world, you're going to get grief, and you're also going to get some level of instruction or help from God. And this is what Moses gets. The second thing that Moses gets, or what we get actually, what we get whenever we give God our leadership is, whenever you give God leadership, you get led. You get led. You are being led. People who give God the leadership are people who want to lead. I get a little angst whenever somebody has to lead something. You ever seen people like that? They always got to lead. Well, who wants to, you know, you're in a group. Who wants to, oh, I will. You know, always got to lead everything. You know, people who need to lead are not godly leaders. People who need to lead are not godly leaders. The greatest leaders are people who love being led and appreciate being led. Moses starts to come to this really difficult time, and he ends up going to see his father-in-law, Jethro. He goes and sees Jethro and Nellie Mae. This is his wife. He goes and sees, his name is Jethro. He goes and sees Jethro. And he just shares with Jethro what's going on. He tells him everything. Tells him what God's been doing on his life. Tells him what's been happening. And Jethro is just an unbelievable encourager. He encourages him. He says, you're doing great. He's just fired up about him. And then Jethro's looking at him going, but man, you don't look so good. You look kind of worn down. Are you okay? You all right? And Moses says, oh, well, you know, I got a million grumblers. I mean, what would you be like? You got a million grumblers. And on top of that, not only do people grumble and not only are they asking me for water and all this stuff, but then they have these things called problems. I mean, these people dare have problems really bothers me. Then they bring me all their problems and they want me to be judge and jury and just to solve all their problems. And Jethro looks at him and says, dude, well, this is not a good idea. You need, and he basically gives them some instructions. But the important thing to notice here is that Moses is under his leadership. Here's what it says. Jethro was delighted. Now, Moses answered him, because the people come to me and seek God's will, whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Moses listens. He listens, and he's up for being led. I don't know about you, but I love being led. I was a staff person. Actually, this year is the first year I've been a senior pastor longer than a staff person at church. I love being a staff person. I love doing what I'm doing right now, but I love being a staff person. Like my son's been playing football, and I told the coach I'd help him coach, and I haven't been too good at it for whatever reason, showing up. But when I show up, you know, as Coach Daniel, I love sitting under his leadership and letting him go. I love it. I'm in a meeting around here with someone who's maybe led a meeting where I sat under it for a while. It would be Todd Henry or Darren Yates or Cindy Weininger. Or last week, you know, Brian Spitwell speaks. I'm sitting up there. I'm sitting up in that thing. I love being led. It's a wonderful thing. When God blesses you by enabling somebody else to positively influence you. And Moses is completely up for being positively influenced and positively led. I wonder how many of us are. Are we really up for being led? You know, one of the ways that you know if you're up for being led is who you're going to vote for. Let me have a little fun with this. Everyone's all like, Everyone's all like, you know, they keep saying there's these undecided voters. Who? Anybody in here know an undecided voter? I mean, you are? You mean no? Okay, well, good. Good for you. You're a very rare person. I tell you what's even more rare than being an undecided voter. What's even more rare is having a decision on who you like and who you're going to vote for and then switching it. That's very rare because we end up not choosing people who want to lead us. We end up just choosing people who affirms everything that we are about ourselves. And you could say, I'm fascinated to watch this in America right now. We're just, you know, lines are being drawn and people aren't really up for being led or influenced or given a methodology or an ideology that might not understand. You know, can you look at your candidate choice and see some of the potential flaws in him? Can you look at your candidate of non-choice and see some of the possibilities in that person? You know, and we look at this as like, oh, this is a great thing for me just to know, I know. Well, it might be in some circumstances, but it's also not a good thing to have this pattern that says, I can't be influenced by somebody who I don't like. One of the great marks of people that God uses, not that they're led to stupid places, not that they're influenced in ways that shouldn't be influenced, but they're teachable. They are able to be led. And Moses is able to be led. He's able to be led by God. He's able to be led by his father-in-law, Jethro. So here's what happens. Moses, oh, I answered that. I did that already. Moses answered him because of you. I did that one. I'm sorry. So what happens is Jephthah says to him, look, here's the deal. People are going to come to you and do this. Here's what you do. You give it away. You give your leadership away. What happens when God gets your leadership? You give it away. You're up for other people having it. Any privileges that you have, any perks that you might have, any unique responsibilities, you don't look at those entitled as yours. Why? Because they're God's. Because God owns everything. God owns the life. God owns the universe. God owns everything. And anything that comes with my leadership role, whatever that is, as a mom, as a committee person, as a whatever, I'm up for giving that away and allowing other people to do that. And so that's what happened with Moses. He actually goes off and he gives other people authority to make decisions for him. He gives other people authority to settle disputes. And he does it so that he can survive. Because Jethro says, dude, you're going to wear yourself slap out. You can't do this. Peter Drucker, one of the greatest leadership and management gurus of our time, might have died today. He's about 99 years old. Any day he's going to die, I think. He said this. He said, your first and foremost job as a leader is to raise your own energy level and then to help orchestrate the energies of those around you. Very first responsibility as a leader is to yourself. Because once you can't lead yourself and manage your own energies, you're not a blessing to others. Of course, we all know that we've been in planes, and who's the first person you're supposed to put the oxygen mask on after it drops? You. Once you put it on you, then you can help other people. You know, I know a lot of us that we just feel so guilty when we take care of ourselves. Oh, I can't take a day off. No, I can't give that project away. No, my kids whine and scream and I have to do it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you have to say, whine, scream, daddy's taking a nap. You know, watch the television. I'll be back in about an hour and a half. You know, maybe you need to take care of yourself. One of the things that you do is you recognize that if God is going to use me, I have to take care of myself. I have to watch my energy. I have to watch my sleep levels. I have to watch my all that stuff. God does not call us to jump into his work to kill ourselves. He does not call us to jump in to where piranhas are and the first man who dies is the most holy. It's not the way it works. I need to take a little, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to take about a 5 to 10 minute detour right now, okay? Because I really feel, I realize talking about leadership and Moses doing this whole, this thing where he's using his leadership and his influence with people, be really not wise of me to not address some things around here. One of my leadership roles as pastor here, just not to address some things going on here. So I just want to hit the pause button and want to talk to three groups of people. First group of people I want to talk to, those of you in here who are, you're here like 4 months and less. 4 months and less. You come in, you're going, jib jab, what is that all about? And you come in, you got free coffee and this and that. You're going, is this a church? You need to understand something. We've never really tried to be a church. We are a church. But we don't try to duplicate what other churches do, whatever those churches do, and however great they may be. We're here to connect seekers to a community of growing Christ followers. That means you come in here, you're going, I'm not sure who God is. I'm not sure who Jesus is. Great. That's exactly why our church is here. And once you come to understand who Christ is, if you do, we're here to grow. We're all here to go to the next place. We never set out to be a big and popular church. That was never the goal. The goal was connecting seekers to a community of growing Christ followers. So whenever you say, why do they do that? Why do they not do that? Understand that's what we're about. We're not about being just another church on the corner. Maybe that'll help kind of frame out for you why we communicate some of the ways that we do and why we do some of the things that we do. So there's those of us who are here less than 4 months, which, by the way, is about this weekend, probably about 1,000 people will be here this weekend who've been here 4 months or less. Then those who were gone and are back in the last 4 months. We're gone and back. Let me show this. A little love. You might not know it, but sometime during today's service, someone has sat in the back and actually counting every head in here and every kid and every CSM. We take a census, if you will. We just look who's coming because it helps us plan. So here's kind of what's been happening with our attendance stuff. 2002, you can see from Easter, which actually, that's the week after Easter, because Easter is always falsely high, and Labor Day, by the way, is always falsely low. So the week after Easter, the week before Labor Day, you can see we were kind of even in 2002, then we grew 8%. And then the next year, 2003, we were even, and then we kind of grew 5%. And then this last year, we actually, for the first time ever, dipped 12%, and then we increased 25% from May 30th to the week before last weekend. What is the difference? There's one difference here. The difference is Crazy campaign. That is the one difference of this last year versus all of the others. So, in other words, what happened for a good many of us is the level of spiritual challenge as we went through a crazy campaign and asked all of us to say, God, how would you use my leadership, all the blessings that are yours that you have given me, how would you have me make kind of a financial commitment and really get on board with this around here? That level of spiritual octane, for whatever reason, caused 12% of our church to leave. And then once it was over, everyone came back with a couple friends. That's what happened after that. But basically, I'm going to speak in generalities. Here's what you need to know, if you're in that sort of category. None of us gave at the crazy campaign because it was fair share. None of us, and I hope none of us are, I'm not sitting here right now, I'm not sitting here going, how dare you sit here sucking up our free air conditioning? How dare you? No, I'm not doing that. I'm really not. Well, maybe sometimes I am. No, I'm not. Totally kidding. I'm not sitting here going, we're not sitting here going, hey, fair share, because we didn't do it that way. We did that between us and God. It's like, God, what would you have me do? And that was the whole spiritual journey. And so you're welcome here, but you also need to realize that the level of spiritual challenge does not change around here. That wasn't like a little blip that got over. And if you're going to be a part of this community, you're going to stay here. You're going to have to be a part of this community, not just be a part of our attendance and just a part of people who are sitting here. And I'm not saying what God wants you to do this week or whenever, but we're in the midst of a process, a journey that is a fantastic thing. And I would just let you know, you are noticed. It's great to have you here, and you are noticed, and this will never be the place where you will be the most comfortable person just sitting back. We ask for community engagement at the right time in the right season. All right, nothing I want to say about that one. Now, the third group of people, those of us who are longer-term leaders here, who've been involved here for a while, been plugged in, let me say a couple things to you all. Hey, stuff's going good along here. You're having a massive, massive impact. Just to make you aware of a couple things. We need to all like park over Moser Dodge. The goal is park as far away as you can, especially on Sundays. Park as far away as you can. Remember 10:20 service, we're keeping that open for people who are serving at another service or people who are seekers or people who are bringing seekers. So I got to ask you again, if you can stay away from that 10:20, and even 11:40 is getting that way, that would be awesome. That's one thing. The other thing is that as people are growing, there's more volunteer positions that are happening around here. And we need to not rely upon people like me on stage saying, we need help in blank, blank, blank. We are all leaders and influencers here. And this needs to go to the place of us asking our friends, asking people here, hey, we need help in parking. We need help in CSM. Would you like to be a part of that? I'd like to ask you to give this place your leadership, not just your business, not just your family, but look to see how you can bring your leadership here. And then this one, I'm not sure if this is long-time attenders or which category this is, but I actually saw a receptionist out there, primary receptionist Molly. She does a fantastic job. I feel for her. I feel for her and the people who reconnect cards. We've gotten a good amount of calls from people who said, hey, if you don't address the same-sex marriage amendments, I'm leaving. You know, the whole thing, same section. If Crosser doesn't address that from stage, I'm leaving. So let me just say this. Goodbye. Goodbye. Here's what I mean. And those of you who are less than 4 months, you might not get this. But those of you who are longer, let me be very clear on something here. We have no problem offending people. I probably offended at least all of us at some point today, right? I did good to have them censor the jib-jab clip. I have no problem offending people. I mean, we're an equal opportunity offender around here. That is no problem. No problem at all. And we have no problem talking to hard issues. But we don't talk to issues because it's political season. You know, you take a look at the life of Christ. He lived in the most politically corrupt regime in the history of the world. You want to take a look at political corruption? Take a look at the nation of Rome and some of the sexual practices that were common with all of their officials. Nasty, nasty stuff. You know how often we have recorded Jesus speaking to the political situation today? Never. What is the role of the church? The role of the church is change. You know what the change is? It comes one life at a time. One heart change at a time. And when you get your heart changed, God might have a calling for you to leverage your leadership in the political realm in some way, shape, or form. That's awesome. But you understand around here, the church is not a political movement. It's a spiritual movement where hearts get touched, where God does the healing work that only He can do in our lives. And our church has never been and will never be about weighing in on the political trends and the political winds of the day. That's just not what we've ever done. And this November, it's no different. So I just want to be there. Okay, cool. All right. Do you still love me? You still like me? Okay. All right, let's continue on Moses. I just felt if I didn't hit some of these kind of highlight top things, I'd really be wasting, you know, this time. So let's continue to take a look back at Moses, back to Moses. By the way, you know, one of the ways that, one of the reasons I'm convinced that God used Moses so much, because it says in the Bible that Moses was the most humble man on earth. He was humble. He was very confident in his way, in himself in some ways, very strong in some ways, but he was able to be taught. That's really what humility is. That's one of the reasons that God uses him. And so you think that everything is great with Moses. You think that he's just, you know, doing awesome. You think that everything is going great. And then this event happens, which really, really bothers me. The event that happens is in Numbers. Numbers 20, verse 7. And here's kind of the background of what happens. They come to another crisis moment. They come to a crisis moment where they need Moses to intercede and they need him to bring water. And so he goes back to God and he's getting grief again. And he goes back to God to get instructions. And God says very clear to him, he says, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock and water will come out. I want you to speak to the rock and water will come out. And so what Moses does is this. Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Now, there's a big disparity here, okay? God says, Moses, just speak to the rock. Okay, that's what my God says. What does Moses do? Listen, you rebels! He doesn't say that, but that's what he said. Listen, by the way, I can't necessarily blame him. You know, if you've been grumbled on all the time, the media kind of comes out. But he says, listen, you rebels! He kind of raised his hand. Also, he raised his hand. You know, I raise my hand. What do I want? Attention, right? When I raise my hand, I want attention. I'm in class, or hey, listen to me! Now, in fact, I've probably already done that today. Don't we do that? It's a natural thing. I want attention. I raise my hand. Moses raised his hand. What is he saying? I want attention! Everyone on me, here I am. I'm about to do something very, very cool now. Listen, you rebels, listen. And he takes out his thing, and he hits the thing. He hits it, and water comes out. Is it going to happen again? No, I guess not. But water does come out. What happens? He breaks the instructions. He breaks the instructions. He does not do what God has said to do. And one of the most heartbreaking things happens in all scriptures. One of the things I don't get. God looks at him and says, Moses, your run's done. Your run's done. All those people eventually are going to go in the promised land, all of Israel, except for one person. You know who? You. You ain't going. And Moses dies on a hill later on, watching the Israelites just about ready to cross the river to go into the promised land. And I read that and I go, ah, how can that be? God, you're just not fair. And of course, God isn't fair, and we should all be glad he isn't fair, because he gives us way more than we deserve. But I look at it and I go, ah, here's this guy. I mean, he wanders in desert for 40 years. He has spiritual bush burning stuff. He puts up with all these grumblers. He does these 10 plagues, and Pharaoh gives him grief, and he's humiliated in people, and he fights the good fight, and he does everything he can do in his power, and all his whole life, and then he doesn't go. And I go, it just makes me hurt. Of course, there's always more of the story. He's had something in his life he's not gotten a hold of. He's not gotten a hold of his anger. This whole journey started a long, long time ago when he lashed out and he killed somebody in anger. Then he gets angry, flipping out on people all around him various times. And finally, he gets angry again and blows God's instructions. And what God does, he says, sorry, your run's done. And Moses learns a very important lesson. That is, all leaders are expendable. Every leader is expendable. You know what happens with us is we see something we have to be, and we just think we have to insert ourselves, and we go, here I am. This family can't exist without me. This friendship can't exist without me. This whatever. And we just think, and we widen our tentacles, and we think this is ours. We start grabbing it, and we just think, and maybe even our organization or our team or part thinks that we can't exist without us. But you know what happens? When God removes us, oh, wow, the space behind me just got swallowed up. And when you give God your leadership, you realize that you give God the results. You give God the results. You don't try to manipulate things, but you say, God, this is what you're doing, And so I'm going to let you have the results. And the results for Moses are the people eventually get in the promised land. But for Moses, he doesn't go. And he comes to a place where he says, that's okay. Because I'm not in my ring. God, I'm in your ring. And if being in your ring means that I don't go, it's okay. It was last week I came back from church. Did my normal pilgrimage to UDF. Go to UDF, get a Sunday paper and some sort of junk food. And I go up to the counter, I'm waiting in line, and I get up there simultaneously to a police officer on my left-hand side. And he takes off his hat and he puts it on the counter there, and he's ringing out. And I look inside the hat, and I see all these, like, pictures of people, you know, in this hat. And I realize these are, like, most wanted people. So these pictures in this hat that he has. He just takes off the hat. He's got, and then the guy starts going like this. No, he's not doing that. I'm just kidding. No, he puts his hat down. I'm looking there going, interesting. And then finally I realize this is a guy who goes around all day, every day with these people. And instead of going, didn't I see him before? Pulls off his hat, go, oh yeah, you're busted. So I asked him, I said, excuse me, officer, is that normal? Is that something that all policemen do, is have the most wanted right there? And he says, well, no, it varies from precinct to precinct, but I do it every day. And I thought, boy, there's a lot of names in this place right now that are in God's hat. You are on his mind every day, all day. You're on God's most wanted list, because God's going, why does everything else get that person's best? Why does their business get their leadership? Why does their civic group get their leadership? Why does their other nonprofit get their leadership? And God does things in all those areas. And whenever we serve him with our whole might in those areas, God has our leadership. But I think in this place, it's a lot of people that are on the top of God's mind, and you're on God's most wanted list. And the question for you is, will you give God your leadership? Will you stop hiding your own place, your own little sphere, and will you make the journey to the center of what God's doing in the process change the world? Why does God want our leadership? Because when God has our leadership, life, the universe, and everything is changed. God, I pray that you would help us this weekend. I have no idea where you want us to be engaged. I mean, I'm just sitting here, and this winter I had the thing that people should do, like the phone number to call, or the neighbor to go and offer service to, or the organization that could use their skills. I don't know. But what I do know is all of us can make the decision to give you our leadership, to give you the influence that we can have. And I ask that you'd make it very clear to us today what that is and where that is. Amen. All right. Well, we have no Next Level this Wednesday. But we will be back in here next weekend. We'll talk about God Wants Our Obsession. Get out of here. Have a great weekend.